Today's episode is sponsored by Holy Milk. I've got a test package here. Delicious vegan milk that has no seed or vegetable oil, refined sugar, natural flavors, or non-organic stabilizers. This stuff is delicious. Check out the Holy Milk Instagram to find out where you can purchase Holy Milk in New York City.
Here we are on beautiful Jones Street.
You saw Ted Jones.
I go to the end zone. I go one way to the end zone. You just hear, moo. It's like you throw the girl up and, you know, you catch her feet or you catch like 1 foot. And those all have names. So say it's like a quick timeout. They're like, all right, everybody throw hands extension.
Ted Jones World. We have my literal brother in studio. Brother. Quentin Jones. We'll get you in there nice and tight. You're a seltzer guy.
I am a seltzer guy.
Me too, bro. It's my favorite drink.
It's because I don't drink a regular pop, so it's my...
Okay. Did you have a period of time in your life where you were drinking a lot of pop?
Well, you know, I'm not the skinniest guy. They can see that. Have we started? Is this how you start cold open?
Yeah, you want one more professional
open? No!
Hilarious comedian Quentin Jones in the studio, my literal brother.
Yeah, that's right. You know, my brother from another mother and probably, you know, all that stuff.
Yes, but good to see you, dude.
Yeah, no, just I'm overweight. And so when you lose weight, you try to do the easiest thing to lose weight. So the first thing I cut was pop.
That's funny you call it pop. Where are you from originally?
Detroit, Michigan.
Detroit.
Born, raised, was there until I went to college, University of Michigan.
Oh, you went to the UMich?
I graduated.
Bro,
University of Michigan.
That's pretty fancy of you, especially being a comic.
Yeah, no, I'm way smarter than any.
That's what I was gonna say. You read and shit.
I don't read.
You could though.
I can
if you needed to.
Yes, I read. Bro, it's so important.
You guys in the national championship for football?
We're in the playoff right now.
Okay, but you're the number one seed. I believe
number one seed.
Oh wow. Okay, cool.
Speaking of national championships at Michigan, I won 3 national championships in cheerleading.
Oh, dude. Yeah. I think I vaguely knew that. I looked at your IG. Talk about that.
Oh, man. So over a decade ago,
we're about the same age, but go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I joined the cheer team because I wanted free football tickets. Because, like, you know, I'm a broke college student.
That's the smartest way to do it.
The season tickets. And so I saw a friend on the team. You know how you see a guy, they're like, he's not more athletically superior to me. I'm like, if he's doing it, I can do it. So tried out for the team, made the team, and I just caught the team on a hot run where I won 3. Like, they were national runners-up the year before I got there, and I won 3 straight before I left the team, and they actually won 5 straight, and they've won, like, 7 out of the last 9 years or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Dude, they're so freaking good.
Like they're rolling. Shout out to UMich cheer, you know, kicking butt.
I went to Michigan, visited my boy there. I was supposed to go to the game, but I got too drunk, and I didn't.
Oh, yeah, that's how it happens, man. Yeah. You get down State Street.
I went to Skeeps.
Oh, Skeeps,
the man. Bar. And then what was the bagel place? Was it Brugger's Bagels or Einstein Bagels right near campus?
Oh, I mean, there's one of those two.
Yeah, yeah,
man. I used to live like so, like broke college student stuff. So you kind of like find the food deals throughout the week. So Skeeps always had unlimited wings, and all you had to do was buy 2 beers. I was just like, so I'd starve myself till they open to like 3.
And you just have $3 dinner.
Yeah, you get the beers, get in, you get a couple more, but like under a good like all the wings you want. They had like nachos sometimes too. All the wings you want, you know, a couple beers for under $10. Couldn't beat it, man.
Was it harder to get into Michigan being a resident of Michigan? Or how did you think that process was? Were there a lot of kids from your high school that went to Michigan?
Oh, man, that's a loaded question.
Probably not, dude. I imagine you must have had a lot of extracurriculars.
Well, I went to, like, the Cass Tech High School, which is, like, the top high school in Detroit.
What's that?
It's a magnet high school in Detroit. So it's, like, you know, Detroit, you know, if they're going to look for black students in Michigan, that's one of the top schools they go to. So I actually got into Michigan twice because I applied for the engineering school. The engineering school was taking too long. So I like submitted another application to their literature, science and arts school. And then I got into both. And then I actually had to choose. But like at the time, like my mom went to Michigan. I have a tattoo. Like I'm like Michigan legacy. So getting into Michigan was like almost a no-brainer. Like I knew like the admission people for the engineering school and like the main engineering coordinator. Like shout out RIP to Tywon Renfrey. If any Michigan people are watching, y'all know who he is. But Like, I knew I was going to Michigan.
So you didn't just apply to the regular school. You applied to a specific program in Michigan?
So not specific programs. So they have, like, the engineering school. They have, like, the theater school. And then they have, like, the general college, the rest of the... Is this a cussing podcast?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, well, I was just, like, the regular shit school, LSMA. Oh,
let's go.
Like,
all right. Else.
So, yeah. But I knew I was going to Michigan. It was always my dream to go to Michigan just because my mother went there, my aunt went there, my little sister... went there, we all graduated.
Damn, so, full legacy, huh?
Yeah. You know, if the world's around, if when I have kids, I want them to go to Michigan.
Let's also. Go. All right. Yeah, you have Seattle in your bio, too.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Graduated from University of Michigan, and I'm also a software engineer. So when I graduated from University of Michigan, my first job.
So you're a coder?
Yeah, I code. Yeah, I used to work in their AI division, Cortana. She doesn't exist anymore. Not my fault. She was doing good while I was there.
Why not? Was Cortana the name of the school, the institution, or was it a person?
Microsoft basically was trying to compete with Amazon and Google Assistant. The Microsoft equivalent to that was Cortana. That was her name. And when I got there, it was like a whole big push to like get her. But really, we were just trying to do what Amazon was doing. And just like leverage like all like the corporate partners that we have.
So in simple terms, what was Amazon doing that you were trying to do?
Alexa.
Okay.
It was Microsoft version of Alexa.
And that was through your coding.
I was coding Cortana. I was coding AI.
Okay.
Which sounds so much cooler than what it is.
Well, that was a while ago though. That must have been the baby stages of AI, right?
You could say it was like early, before it even was AI. It was just like, you know, it was just an assistant. You ask her a question. She basically does her own Bing search and gives you an answer.
How do you feel about the future of AI?
How do I feel about the future of AI? Right now, I feel like it's
scary to you.
It isn't scary because when you make code, like when you code, you know how dumb code is and you know how easy it is to break. Does that make sense? So people are like, oh, like say take like Terminator, where like, oh, they become completely autonomous and all this. It's like most of AI, most of code, most of machine learning is just like a bunch of statements. Like if this happens, do this. If this happens, do that. If this happens, do this. And it's just hard for me to see, at least from what I know and what I do, it becoming sentient because it only can anticipate what it's seen before.
So it can anticipate the next word or next thought based on what it's previously learned.
So the power behind AI is you have big data and it takes all this data. So it's like, say, you know how you type and it gives you like the next two or three words. It's based off of what all the other people have typed, what you have typed, and then it can predict, oh, he's most likely going to say blah.
Eventually, that seems like it would get out of hand, though.
I mean, well, a simple EMP shuts down all electronics. So I'm just not scared of it. What I am worried about is the stuff where it is kind of automated, the repetition type jobs that people do, where you basically do the same thing every day. AI is going to take those, and that scares me.
I read that Amazon is going to be able to hire robots in their warehouses, and it's only going to cost them $3 an hour compared to the $18 an hour.
That's absolutely scary. Like anything where employees. You like, you know, you scan one, like it knows where to scan and put in, you know, ship and put it in boxes, all that stuff that doesn't require like, you know, the dexterity of a human. It's just, you know, once something's in a box, you scan it and you put it somewhere else. That can completely be automated. So people who have those jobs are scared. I'm scared.
Well, wouldn't more jobs become able to like, used by robots, like if you're a lawyer or a doctor or some things like that, won't all jobs be taken over by AI?
I don't think lawyers. Well, it's funny because like there's like cartoons where there's kind of like lawyering and, you know, the justice system is automated. But what makes a good lawyer is the ability to bend and twist and sway the opinion of people. So you can't really have an AI lawyer without having an AI jury.
I was going to say, though,
you can't really do that because you gotta win the hearts. It's in the hearts. So if you take the jury out or the human part of the jury, then you don't need lawyers.
Don't you feel like we're just saying that now, though, in 2023? Like in 20 years, couldn't they be like, all right, the entire jury is AI, the lawyer's AI, and it's just purely based on the
book. Well, you wouldn't even need a jury. You would just literally, you could just have the video of what someone did. They scan it, and based off of all what they've seen before, to say this person, like, you don't even need a judge. It's just you scan the video, the AI analyzes the video, and then boom, that's your verdict.
Damn.
I do think doctors being automated is good.
Like for surgeries.
For surgeries, for diagnosis, just for, you know, a lot of that stuff. Just because, you know, I'm really sensitive to the fact that especially black women are legitimately, like, under, like, they don't, that's not the word. Respected isn't the word. If a black woman comes in sick, they're just not taking it seriously. And so, like, oh, I'm in this much pain. But, like, just, there's a whole bunch of, you know, articles about just black women not being taken as seriously by doctors. And if you can eliminate race and all the implicit bias that people just naturally have, and just you see it as a patient and symptoms and blah, 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 it could lead to better treatment for all patients.
Why black women specifically? Is it seen as women are more sensitive, but why black women?
It's you gotta get really into like the way that people think, but the assumption is that like black people can like take more pain or something like that. I'm not an expert on it, but it's just like because we're one, we could take more pain, and two, they also at the same time think we're exaggerating. So when someone says, "Hey, I have this," they kind of just. I'm like, I'm not an expert on it, but basically we're both can take more pain and that we can, and we're not taken seriously, or, you know, they just kind of give like the, you know, easiest diagnosis when they don't really do
like a vague diagnosis. Right.
You know, it's kind of like, it's kind of like, you know, if a white woman cries help or a white woman does anything, just society takes her more seriously. It's like, we got to get to the bottom of this. But if a black woman cries, you know, help or anything like that, they're like, oh, you know, it's the same thing, but in the medical field.
So I want to talk about your journey to Seattle.
Yeah.
That was after you graduated from Michigan. You had a job so there.
I guess it's a podcast. I can get a long version.
Please.
So I graduated from Michigan, and I remember I had like a 2.003.
Ooh.
Like, barely graduated.
Because you're partying too much with the football team and the ladies on the cheer
actually,
team,
I went through, actually, it took me 7 years to graduate from the University of Michigan.
Oh, shit. You're like the Black Van Wilder.
Something like that. Way less without the rich dad. But, for various reasons. So, it was interesting. I could code. I could do math. But I couldn't write a paper to save my life. And anybody who texts me knows I still have typos and use, like, the wrong version of a word. It's just like, so I had a 2.03, but like my engineering GPA was like a 3.1. But wow. My like typing paper and all that other crap GPA was like 1.7 or whatever, you know, whatever the math comes out to. So in getting jobs back then, damn, that sound old saying that back then.
No, I know, bro. We're still young though. And especially being in comedy, man, we got plenty of time.
But, you know, there was just a bigger emphasis on GPA. So,
oh my God. Yeah.
I just got my degree just to get out. And, I was working at a jewelry shop.
In Michigan.
I was working at K Jewelers at,
what was the in mall? The mall. And
in the mall. Close. Yeah, that okay. was, and I was good at it. I was K a good, Jewelers. I honestly attribute my time at K Jewelers to me being, a stand-up comic.
Oh, some good crowd work.
You just gotta think on your feet. You know, I'm trying to sell people rings and bracelets that are like $5,000-$7,000.
He should really buy that for you. Don't let the wife really buy there.
Yeah. When was the last time he got you something good? Do you treat her? We got payment. Like, oh my.
Wow.
Huh. But it gave me a confidence I didn't have that, you know, parlayed into that. So I'm working at a jewelry store, and I'm playing video games on Xbox with some friends who had graduated earlier than me. And my friend's like, I'm so sick of these recruiting trips at Microsoft, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, hold on. Like, I don't know if you remember these videos. It was like, are y'all niggas hiring? Do you remember that? Is that a black community thing? You can say it too. No, don't say it.
But I'm like, what? He said I could say it.
No, but it's a theme. And so I literally asked him that. He was like, well,
Who? Your boy?
Yeah, my boy Caleb. He was like, he worked at Microsoft. He was an engineer, but engineers also help with the recruiting
effort. What game were you guys playing?
Gears of War 3 Horde mode.
What's horde mode?
So horde mode is basically like Nazi zombies where you're just fighting a bunch of monsters. All right,
I'm happy you're killing them.
Yeah, there's a lot of mental downtime. You're just kind of like shooting your turrets and we're talking. And so I was just like, yo, are y'all hiring? And he's just like, well, yeah. I got my seltzer. We were talking about that. Mm-hmm. But don't spill. Don't.
Keep it under spill. The we lid. Got lemon lime. Expert. Best flavor.
I wanted a black cherry, but it black wasn't cold
good
yet. Too.
Schweppes is good. Howe's, huge seltzer guy is over here.
How you say this?
Schweppes, right?
Schweppes. Yeah, Schweppes.
I've never really noticed the name until, like, you know, you read it. But, like, if you just show me that, I don't know if I'd know the name.
Yeah, this is the Comedy Shop seltzer water.
Yeah.
Schweppes seltzer water.
Shout out Comedy Shop. Bro, yeah. Just giving us comedian seltzers.
Yeah, fresh. Man. I appreciate it, man. Very tight. They treat us good. I think they're the best. Decent over there.
Shout out Miguel. Shout out Miguel. E-Ward, the boys.
Right. All the boys. Layla, Alfie, getting people good and libated.
The squad.
Boom, squad. But so basically, he's like, yeah. And he sets up an interview.
With?
Microsoft. Yeah. With his team at Microsoft. And I was like, probably the most nervous I've ever been. Cause
that's a huge hookup, by the way, your boy to get you an interview at Microsoft, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And like, I'm talking to, like, I studied for a month before this interview. Like I worked like between jury people, I'm like doing code and problems. Like I worked to get ready for this. I'm like, I got a 2.03. I'm never going to get a tech job. I was literally had given up on tech. And so, I study for a month and I get there and I think I'm ready, but I'm like so nervous because I potentially can go from making, you know, $13 an hour plus commission to six figures like that. And like I could barely talk. I was sweating through everything, but luckily my intelligence shined through and they had like this apprenticeship program. Where it's like you go there for 4 months. Shout out to Leap at Microsoft, fourth cohort four. Now, dang, but they're like 20 now. But so they put me in that, and then that's how I got into Microsoft. So I wasn't enough to get the job, but they're like, hey, he's got something, and he's clearly like have puddles in our office right now, and they just happen to have this program for people like that, and so they sponsored me for that. For 8 weeks, and then they liked. Oh, they're like, oh, he can actually code. He just was nervous as hell, and so that's how I got into Microsoft.
And you moved to Seattle. So how long were you there for?
I was in Seattle for 6 years.
Whoa,
man!
Were you doing any sort of comedy over there?
That's where I started comedy. Okay. Started comedy in Seattle, just drunk. We gotta go back. So I was at a happy hour, and I was drunk talking shit at a happy hour. And Stephen Mays, shout out to Stephen Mays.
Shout out Stephen Mays.
I'm doing a lot of shout. Shout out Stephen Mays.
No, it's all good.
He's a comic out of Houston.
Okay,
but he lived in Seattle also, and he thought I was running bits at this happy hour when I was just drunk talking shit. He was just like, "Have you ever thought about stand up?" Which I love. I've always loved stand up. Like I watched Comic View in the basement, but he invited me to this open mic he was hosting, so I go there and I'm like terrified. Because I'm like, I'm thinking, you know, earthquakes, you know, the Bill Burrs, the monsters. You never see the bottom. So I go to the open mic and I saw how bad comedy can be. I'm like, oh, well, shit. If these people do it, I can do it.
Yeah, dude.
So I went back the next week and I did it and, you know, hooked just from open mic. Jai Tai open mic in Seattle doesn't exist anymore. But
what were your hours like at Microsoft that allowed you to do that?
Regular hours, so I would get to the office maybe like 9, 10 a.m.
Okay.
No one really showed up. Very few software engineers show up before 10 a.m. except for people with kids.
Because you guys are sleeping playing video games.
Yeah, you know, doing whatever. But except the people with kids. The people with kids get there early because kids stuff. But most people show up at 10, so like 10 to 6, 10 to 5, something like
that. What was your living situation like in Seattle?
Lived alone, downtown Seattle, and then they had a shuttle to the campus of Microsoft. So you take the shuttle to work and then you take the shuttle back and then you get home around 6-7 o'clock and then that's when all the open mics kind of start.
You ever meet Steve Ballmer or Bill Gates?
I never met either of them. I did meet Satya, who's their CEO now.
Okay.
Satya Nadella. You know, people forget he's been there like over a decade. No one knows who he is.
Poor guy, dude. Poor guy. This Epstein list is coming out on January 1st.
Is that real?
And yeah, dude. So we'll see what happens with Bill Gates. I don't know. There's been some murmurs about him being on that list. I don't know, dude.
Everyone wants to see this list. They want to see really the list of all the richest people who diddle kids. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Me personally?
No, well, I'm looking in the camera. What are you going to do when the CEO of your favorite restaurant's on the list?
Question. Are you going to boycott?
Are you going to boycott everything? Really? Like,
yeah, it's very weird. And it's crazy that it's just been under wraps for so long, too.
I mean,
so apparently out of the 170 names, 13 tried to get redacted, mm-hmm. but they're going to be on the list when it comes out. And then 3 are actually redacted. 3 names. So who are those 3 people who are not on that list, man?
That's the Illuminati, right?
Yeah, that's like just the 3 of them.
Of the top.
That's like, crazy.
170. I feel like
170. We're on the flight log, so you can only assume the worst.
You know what I mean? Even if you witness people diddling kids, you're like, oh, well, you guys doing that? I'm gonna go back to the bar. Y'all have fun. Like, you're still a monster.
Yeah,
that's how I see it. But yeah. Like, what are you gonna do? You're gonna be outraged, and people are gonna forget in 2 weeks, just like anything else. Just like anything else, people get outraged and get your panties in a bunch and. Then it's like 2 weeks after that, you get the one person that still goes, oh, yeah, that did happen. He was like, but life's just going to keep going.
Yeah, man. The world will keep spinning.
Nothing's going to happen.
Your journey from Seattle, did you go back to Detroit after you were done with that job? How did you end that job?
So Microsoft, I left Microsoft like right before the end of 2020. Terrible.
What was your trajectory like? Why was it terrible?
Oh, terrible timing because of the pandemic.
But theoretically, would you have been a guy, you said you're making 6 figures, would you have just like climbed up the ladder till you were making like $1 million or $2 million a year?
No, I was miserable. Like once I found, like, so before when I was in Microsoft working, it was like, I told myself, I'm like, before I'm 30, I want to find something that I'm proud to do. Because, like, I was proud to do cheerleading, but it was, like, I'm in school, and I just did engineering because my mom said I had to do engineering. Then I kind of fall into software engineering. I was good at it. So I'm doing this software engineering. I'm making a lot of money, but I'm not happy. Yeah. It's just I'm making a lot of money, and I'm just, you know, drinking and whoring, and I had nothing. So I remember I literally prayed. I'm like, I want to find something that actually gives me purpose that I want to do. And then that next birthday is when I went to that open mic, and I found comedy. So I don't think even if I wasn't a comic, I would have been able to climb that ladder. Or maybe I just would have stayed and been miserable like a lot of people are. They just stay. Hey, it's comfortable. It pays for stuff.
Yeah, it's just that extra bonus. They'll keep you on that slow ladder moving upwards.
But I was already miserable. And I stepped away.
Did the weather affect you at all, too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was
being super rainy out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was 1 year I was out there where it was literally 3 months of no sun. 3 months of no sun. Yeah. And it's weird because there's so little sun there that you actually get depressed on sunny days if you don't do anything. Like, oh, we got a sunny day and I just stayed in. Right. Like, it's like I wasted the sun. That's how you feel out there. But yeah, I stepped away because, you know, stupid year one comic. I looked at my bank account. I looked what I had. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to fucking do this. And I like did like this baby tour around the country. I'm like, no, like, you know, if I really go in and I do this, like, and we're going to make it. And I had some decent stuff going. Like, I was booked in Japan, and Michigan was coming to play Washington. I had, like, I'm like, oh, I'm going to, like, sell tickets to that. And then, you know, I had all these plans. And then 2020 hit. And I was like, well, there goes all these cool 2020 plans I had. And then I was kind of stuck.
But you moved from Seattle back to Michigan?
No.
Home?
I stayed in Seattle for... Let's see, 2019. I didn't move to New York till 2022. Eventually, I got another job at Nordstrom, which is, you know, but I stayed there till 2022.
What was your experience like cheering at Michigan? Do you have some crazy stories from that time frame when you guys were national championships or champions or what?
Crazy stories because one, I was like older than most of the team when I start, like, so. The freshman class I came in with, I'm a senior, but they're actually freshmen.
Was that like your years 5 and 6 when you were at school?
I'm cheering year 4, 5, 6 of college. They're coming in year 1. And so, like, I was always kind of, not like outside the team, but it was like, I just never, they were never the people I hung with. I already had friends. So there was never any crazy stories. I did, you know, make out with a couple people, you know, because you get the same get up. So, you know, you get the girls like, this is a Michigan football outfit. You're on the football team. I'm like, well, I'm on the field.
Yeah,
so,
you ain't gonna argue against that.
You know, I'm on the field.
Bro, so you, those games, 110,000 people on the field.
Yeah.
Must have been quite the adrenaline rush.
The biggest adrenaline rush actually came when I went to Ohio State.
Oh, dude, I watched that game the other week.
Yeah.
Insanely good game.
This was the year Ohio State won the national championship. But I've always been filled by negativity. And so running Michigan's flag, like Michigan had just scored a touchdown, commercial break, nothing's going, and I'm running in the Ohio State end zone with this big-ass yellow flag and just
How heavy was that puppy?
Oh, it was heavy. It's like Thanksgiving weekend,
is like 20 feet long. Oh, yeah.
Oh. Like just the 110,000 people booing. It's me. They are booing me.
Did you come out before the team?
No.
Is that what it looked like?
I didn't do it before the team because I can't run fast enough for that.
Oh, yeah. I imagine you probably have to run so fucking fast.
Yeah. But, you know, end zone, my coach is like, okay, you can run this. Like, you're not racing. There's no.
You going just in the end zone?
Yeah. Running? So I'm going. I go to the end zone. I go one way to end zone. You just hear, moo. Just a sea of red. And I remember I make it to one end zone.
Was Brutus on the other side? Yeah.
No, Brutus wasn't there. I feel like Brutus, like, I should have fought Brutus. That would have been great. I would have been on ESPN.
Yeah, you should have. But the mascot for Ohio State.
See a red, and I see like three like yellow shirts just going like, yeah. And all I'm thinking is, like, I'm charged up, and I'm like, I cannot trip.
Yeah, definitely.
This is like, dude, this is the one time in my life I cannot trip. So I go, I run it, I flail it, run back. Then we do like a basket toss, throw the girls in the area. Everybody's just like, boo! Like, that is the craziest cheer moment that I have. I'll treasure it forever,
man. When you had grades like you had, was there ever any question about you being able to cheer when you had lower grades?
2.0 was eligible.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, 2.0. Okay. You know, they want you to have a 3.0.
But yeah.
C's get degrees, C's is eligibility. So that was never an issue. So.
Did you guys communicate with the football team at all, or it was kind of like you guys had different practices, different schedule?
I mean, completely separate. My last couple of years, they actually let us like use the student athlete because we weren't considered like student athletes; we were like a club or whatever. But they started to consider us student athletes, so we got to like use like the student athlete study area. So that's when I knew football players from like college. I mean, from high school because you know whatever, but. Also, being black, let's be real. There's not that many black people in the University of Michigan. You see them. But there was never really, like, any interaction. One weird moment I had was, so we're on the sideline for a football game. And I'm, like, next to my partner. We're clapping. And for some reason, I'm looking, like, away from the field. And this fan gets this picture of me looking away from the field. And it looks like I'm just looking straight at this football player's ass. Like in this, like, you know, kind of like, in, like.
It's like eyes are down.
You're eyes are down. Like, just. That, it was bad. So I went, like, baby viral amongst student athletes. They're like, Q, what you doing here? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I see the picture. I'm like, it's like, I can't even.
Yeah,
I
can't even argue against it. You were straight looking at his ass.
It's like, God damn. So that was like embarrassing.
Did you travel to all the away games?
No, we had like a team of, our team was like 40 people, girls and guys, 20 girls, 20 guys.
So it was like half the team would go to other games or what?
So for regular road games, we send four couples. And then for like big bowl games, we had to, we sent 10. So, like, when they're going to play Alabama and the Rose, they're going to send 10 pairs. I never got to do a bowl game because I never liked lifting weights. And so they're like, yeah, we can't let you travel because you don't like to lift weights. So I never got to do a bowl game.
But doesn't everybody have to lift weights or no?
I made a lot of, like, just straight-up lazy decisions back then. Hence, 7 years to get my degree. Like, it was never partying. It was just, I was playing Call of Duty and playing poker all the time. It was never, like, people were like, oh, like, is it too challenging for us? Like, no, I'm slacking off.
How'd you travel to the games? You guys had a bus?
Yeah, we had a bus.
Okay. You never flew?
No, we never flew.
Were there scholarships?
No, there were some that flew, but like if it's a far game, you'll fly. They're not gonna make you drive to California, but you travel on the team plane.
Any scholarships on that on the dance team?
The last couple of years we got, I think, like $1,200, something like that. You know, puts a little dent in there, but you know, not much. Not much.
What was the best experience about being on the dance team?
I mean, I didn't dance cheer. Cheer. I would say just I grew up a huge Michigan fan. So, no, I wasn't a football player. And that's like the dream any kid, guy grows up. Like, I want to play Michigan football. And I mean, that wasn't in the cards for me, but I got to run out the field. You know, I got to see 100,000 screaming fans, which isn't that scary. Actually, football games aren't scary. Basketball games are scary. At basketball, it's kind of like you're throwing a girl. Like, say I'm here and then, like, the seats are, like, where you are. And so, like, if you drop a girl or something goes wrong, someone can legit get kicked in the face. And then you got the student section, they're eye level. So instead of them kind of, like, being up and you can ignore them, they're like.
Yeah. You can hear them yelling at you.
They don't really heckle you, but it's kind of like you ever go to a play and there's a part of you that kind of wants to see somebody trip. You see that on their face, like, oh, we kind of want them. Like,
Yeah. So that'd be a good meme.
Yeah, that's the scariest part is, like, you see people. And then, like, you know, all cheerleaders will drop people, you know. And sometimes drops are catastrophic, but sometimes drops are, she just doesn't stay up and you catch her. So, like, I have, like, basketball games where, like, I do something, stay up, I don't catch her right, you know, I bring her down, everything's safe. But it was like, I saw you drop her. And they're like, this guy.
Any bad injuries from people dropping, like, during practice or during a game?
I've been kicked in the face a couple times, headbutted from, because so you throw a girl in the air and there's two guys, so they get really high, we catch her. So me and this other guy, we catch the girl, but he, like, leans forward and boom. So, like, you know, a girl kicked me in the face because they do stuff where they rotate and she's, like, wherever the tall, so she didn't rotate right. And she kind of did, like, a, you know, a Street Fighter kick to the face for me. That's how she lay, like, bow. So
they must really have to trust you guys.
Yeah, you have to. Anything you see them do, they've probably done, like, 100 times.
How many coaches do you have on the team?
We had 4.
And they're all on the field with you, telling you what moves to do at that particular time.
So typical game is, so let's go football game because that's a little bit easier. There's 2 sidelines. So we take, like, we split the field in half. One side goes here, one side goes to the other. There's 2 coaches on each side. And then once they break up the team, they're like, okay, here are the pyramids we're going to do. Like, that's where you see the girls go in the air and, you know, let's go, boo. So everyone has their pyramids. Every pyramid has a name. And then the more games you do, you kind of, like, know when it's time for you to appear. Like, oh, this is going to be a long, like, those really long commercial breaks live. That's when we're doing, like, you know, pyramids and stuff. So we have those, and then you have individual stunts, like one-on-one stuff. It's like you throw the girl up and, you know, you catch her feet or you catch, like, 1 foot, and those all have names. So say just like a quick timeout. They're like, all right, everybody throw hands extension. And so all the couples, you have like a partner you work with every day in practice to do stuff. All the couples go out and they go, they throw it and it kind of like ripples down. You know, goes up, 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 up. You hold it. Let's go blue. Down, 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 down. And then, or if it's a long one, they're like, okay, you're going to do tabletop pyramid. So we all run out there, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. And you do it and you come back.
Did you ever coordinate with the band? Because I feel like when you guys are doing those cheers, it looks like it is coordinated with the band sometimes. We're not coordinated
with the – so there are things the band does that we know they're going to do. So never like girls in the air.
Okay.
But say –
like a cheer. Like, go. Yeah. Boo.
Go. Big boo. Let's go. Let's go. Big boo. Yeah. Or so my favorite one is like Iron Man. So like dun, 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 dun. And so it's like the Iron Man song. And so we had like a Lean With It, Rock With It we did. Or do you know Blues Brothers, the song? No. Michigan people, y'all know Blues Brothers.
Yeah, y'all know.
But what we would do, we have like a whole routine we do on the court in basketball with it. Like, dun, 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 dun. And so what I used to do, which was dumb. I mean, not dumb. It was fun. Just me having fun. I used to do like finger guns, like Ric Flair out there, which I was just being goofy. But then people like, you're the guy that does like that Ric Flair shit. Guns, I was like,
yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Let's go. Man. Yeah. Oh my God. It's
like random recognition.
Did you guys get drug tested?
No. Mm. I don't know. So cheerleading is probably one of the least, at least when I did it, was like one of the least drug regulated things. So Michigan, they kind of held us to the same athlete standard. And I've heard of people having to do P tests once we became athletes, but like the best cheer programs, like we won, there's divisions. So we won our division, but like the top divisions, they don't test for nothing. And so you got like a Navarro.
Yeah, I was going to ask, did you watch that on Netflix?
I couldn't because I competed and I knew it would bring, like, you miss it. Like, I knew I would, like, cry and miss those feelings because lived what they were doing. Like, I literally lived it.
It was so intense. It gets real, but
those girls are so small.
Yeah.
Like, those were girls, like, might weigh 100 pounds.
But the girls that were on your team were, for the most part, regular size?
Yeah, not regular. 110, 120. Once a girl got to, like, 130, you're like, hey.
Yeah.
This is getting put down the donuts, sweetheart. We can't say that.
Yeah.
You know, we can't, but hey. You know.
I said it.
I had one. Shout out to my girl, Haley. We were, like, so painfully obvious. Honest with each other, right? Like, Haley, you're heavy today.
I feel like you gotta be, because you're the one picking them up, yeah, and or you're in charge of their life.
Yeah, you can feel them being heavy. You can feel, you know,
that lunge.
You have the thing called the chair. I've definitely done chairs and felt like pads. I'm like, oh, she's on her period today.
Oh my gosh, yeah, really?
Yeah. Another thing is, so girls, they don't want to have shaven legs. Like they want, I mean. They like to shave their legs. They're like, oh, I look here, I look like a man.
Right.
But like for chairs, when we hold them up, so we hold them with this arm, but we kind of like stabilize with the leg.
Oh, but if they're slippery, that's hilarious.
Like this is, like I can't grip anything. Yeah, freshly, like did you oil them too? God damn. So
lubed them up for the game.
Yeah, for TV, baby. So, yeah. I forgot the original question, but.
Me too. Comment
what the original question was.
Yeah, it must have been pretty difficult to even make the roster, right? Did people get recruited?
So girls will say, guys, to make the team, you just need to have a dick. That's true. Because we didn't recruit for cheerleading. So we have like tryouts, and there's definitely a tougher screening process for the women. But like most guys were just like general basic. If you lift enough, you can do like the basic stuff to be on the cheerleading team. Because I wasn't like a super athlete.
But you probably had to remember, though, a bunch of cheers in your head, though, right? Yeah, well, was that not difficult?
People underestimate how much you can learn in a short amount of time. So my first year, we have a 2-week preseason where, you know, I remember my first one. I didn't really work out that. Actually, the second one was, I was really out of shape before the second season. But in that 2 weeks, 3 days, your body gets in shape and they drill you and they test you. So you learn like all the cheers and you learn all the stuff in like 2 weeks.
Did you know that you wanted to be on the team, or is it something that kind of crept up on you?
I just wanted to be in the football stadium for free, and that I tripped into cheerleading and then found something I loved and I always remember. I still got a couple years of eligibility left. I could come back.
Really? Still? Well, because I guess you didn't start it till later on, right?
Yeah, I only did three, so I got 1 year left. But you know, COVID, they get an extra year, so you know, I could sneak two out.
What did COVID look like for you?
COVID?
Because it was like pretty bad timing with quitting your job too.
I got on unemployment, so it was fun.
Oh, okay, there you go.
So Seattle unemployment is different than other states. Seattle, they give you a percentage of what you were making. So, I was honest with the government about why I left Microsoft and got unemployment. So I got a percentage of it. And then beginning the unemployment, they were giving $600 on top of that. So I was making
close to a mil.
Yeah, something like that. You know? if you round it up, it was a mil.
To the nearest zero.
No,
so how's New York been for you, man? I didn't realize. I guess you've only been here for
year and
what?
Half.
Only a year and a half.
Yeah, June 2020 is when I moved. 2022, June 2022.
You love it or what?
It's cool. You know, it's expensive as hell, and I'm cheap. You know, it's expensive as hell. But other than, I think if it just costs less,
yeah,
I would like New York a lot more. But New York was tough for me when I moved here, because I moved here with like no, I just moved here for the comedy dream. moved here for a comedy dream, had my job at Nordstrom, moved here, and then there was a bunch of tech layoffs at the end of 2022.
Why is that?
Just, you know, because business was picking up during the pandemic, so everyone overhired. And then 2022, like, we hired too many people. We got to make cutbacks. So I actually lost my Nordstrom job like 2 months after I moved here. So it was tough because I had none of my friends. You know, New York comedy, they didn't care about me doing Chocolate Sundays. We didn't get into that, but me doing winning Chocolate Sundays competition.
Yeah, you won that competition. Let's talk about that too.
Yeah. But they cared about none of my credits. None of my friends who I had could really, you know how it is. You can't really help somebody get stage time. So
because people are trying to help themselves get stage time. People are
trying to help themselves. But even, you know, I think unless you, a club gets a new booker, you can't really help them. Because like my dream moving here is like, oh, well, I got my friend Drew. He's at the stand. Shout out Drew Dunn. You had Drew Dunn here.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Shout out Drew Dunn. I'm like, all right, Drew's at the stand. And he's going to be there. He's going to tell them I'm funny. And they're going to give me stage time. And then boom, I'm at the stand. And then, you know what I'm saying? I got, you know, Roy Wood. I've opened for him twice. He knows I'm funny. We text sometime. He's going to, you know, I'm going to wait a little bit of time, like a year. And then I'm going to hit him up, get in the cellar. Boom. None of that is.
Yeah, bro.
And so there was a good portion of time where I had like no friends for real who I could really like. I knew people, but no like friends, no like it was really dark because I was just here alone, just gotten laid off, you know. And I'm just in, I was really down like a good, really until really probably till about this time last year when I was just like, well, I can't quit, I can't, you know, give up. You know, you just kind of go from being depressed and you try to just get to work. So 2023 has been really good, you know.
What tech entrepreneur are you fascinated by? Who do you think is doing the best
job? I do not care about tech at all.
Really?
I'm good at it. I'm good at it. I'm a smart guy. I'm studying to get a new job now. It's fun. I enjoy learning, but I'm not the tech nerd.
When did you first learn how to code? How did that look?
College. So there was like a pre-college program where they kind of like, you know, show you what college is going to be like. And so they're like, oh, you're in the engineering school, so you're going to have to take a programming class. And so I take the programming class. And at first I kind of hated it because the logic and how you have to think is really weird. But my mentor, still one of my best friends today, Anthony, basically bullied me. He's like, I like you. You're going to be a software engineer. And I'm like, and he was kind of like one of the camp counselors. So I can't really like, fuck off. But, you know, he ended up kind of pushing me into something that I actually, once I put the effort in, got good at. So that's how I found software engineering. I originally wanted to be a naval engineer.
You wanted to go to Navy?
No, I just wanted to be like a Marine naval engineer.
Would you have to join the Army or Navy, though?
There's people like who do stuff. And I mean, I didn't know what it was. I just knew I liked dolphins. That's it. I'm like, hey, I'm going to engineer some shit with dolphins. Yeah, I like dolphins. That's how I went to college. I'm like, I'm going to be an engineer in school. I want to be a naval engineer. I'm going to engineer shit with dolphins, and it's going to be fucking awesome. And then we did like a class with like a dude who's like a OG naval engineer. He's like, yeah, so I got, he like made buoys. I'm like, this shit sucks. So there that went. And I was like, I guess I'll be a computer science engineer because I'm good at it already. And, you know, you come out making six figures.
Is computer science still growing as an industry? Like every year,
it's going to keep growing. I think it's going to keep growing just because, you know, there's some people like, oh, it's going to get automated. I don't think so because you need people to think outside the box. Computers are good at thinking at what they've seen. Humans were designed to find and fix scenarios for what we haven't seen yet. So I think it's always going to grow. And then with the expansion of technology, it's going to be expansion of people who need to innovate and do new things.
What's something that is innovating, and you talk about people doing new things, what's something on the horizon that maybe guys who aren't in the industry might not know about?
I mean, well, I don't think people realize the true power of AI.
Yeah.
Like it's, I, in my studies have, I'm starting to get a glimpse of it, but they can do a surprising amount. So I think, if I were to answer that, I think there's a lot, you can get a lot more done as a person utilizing AI than you give it credit for. That's what I would say.
Like educational wise or?
Yeah, so let's go with that. You can educate yourself. You can take notes. You can plan your day. Like, you can be like, hey, ChatGPT, give me a rundown. Hey, like, say if you feed ChatGPT, like, let's say for comedy, right? And like, ChatGPT, here's my schedule. Here are these gaps. I want to find open mics that within this distance that I can get to that fit the schedule that I already have set. So that way you can get more stage time. You can, you know, say, hey, you can give them an Excel sheet and say, hey, based off the info I have here, send an email to, or give me an email list of people who meet this criteria. So for like this city. So there's just like a lot of stuff there where you may have had to say, oh, this person, you're going to send them an email. Like, there's so much minutia, or, you know, what's the word? I forgot the word. It's like busy work. I forgot. There's another word for it. But there's so much like busy work and simple stuff that you can use AI that can save you a lot of time.
What do you think about TikTok?
What I think about TikTok? I hate TikTok. I hate TikTok.
Why is that?
I hate TikTok because they don't share my videos.
Oh, shit. Yeah, word.
I can't stand TikTok.
You watch a video for 12 seconds instead of like 8 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Then the next
video is insane.
Now that's right on your thing.
Yeah.
And you're getting a lot more of it. And,
right.
You know, and then because the longer you're on the screen, the more ads they show you, the more ad revenue.
And I feel so different on Instagram compared to TikTok that.
My Instagram is mostly comedy, poker, and fitness inspiration.
Okay. Like quotes.
No, just like people in the gym, like, yeah, you Sam gotta Selleck. Get up every day, you know, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, some female fit inspiration, like, it's booty day again. You know.
We're doing single leg squats, today, you ladies.
Know, you know, oh, we're doing, oh, I hate female, like, I hate a lot of female fitness inspiration.
Influencers?
Because it's like, you know, can we stop beating around the bush? Just drop the OnlyFans. We know what you're doing. We know what you're doing. We you see making, what you're doing.
Where are you making
just,
the real money?
Yeah, just, and you know, you click, I clicked the link tree. I shamelessly clicked the link tree. It's like, ooh, work out with me. Diet plans. That's not why, you know, y'all know.
The fit tea.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't care. The tummy tea. It's like, you're doing bench press and the whole camera's fixated on your vagina print. Come on. Come on. Stop the crap. Stop it. You know what you're doing. You know who's looking at you. You look at your insights. Just drop the OnlyFans. Stop beating around the bush. You know why we're here. Your new follower count, the new 10,000 people, they're not there for your diet plan and your training. You know why they're there. Just drop the OnlyFans. Come on now. You're already doing OnlyFans like. Just go ahead, drop it.
Yeah, dude, I think the more and more people every day, dude, are joining OnlyFans. You see they're doing comedy on OnlyFans?
I know the comics.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know any
my
comics.
Boy
on
Malik,
there,
my boy Malik, my boy Mateen, my boy Martin. Yeah. I'm like, damn, not only are there OnlyFans, I can DM these guys, and they'll respond. Because I can DM Rihanna, you know what I'm saying? But they'll respond. Right. So, yeah, they're doing OnlyFans comedy. Shoot, I thought about it. Let me lose a little bit more weight.
Put your special on OnlyFans.
You gotta have followers on OnlyFans for it to work.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
but well, you get to that point.
I thought about, like, there's got to be some comic out there that's like, you know, doing their bits with their titties out or their dick out or something. There's got to be some comic.
Yeah, bro. I've heard of there's like a nude show in Brooklyn I saw one time briefly.
Yeah, yeah. I know someone that's done
it. I don't know what the show was, but a nude comedy show.
I wouldn't do that.
I don't think I would do it. Yeah, in the winter.
I wouldn't do it. Definitely you got to kiss me in June. can't be December.
Catch Quinn in June. Quinn, this has been a freaking great episode, man. Before we get out of here, we're popping up your Instagram. This will be released on Monday. Let us know if you got anything coming up for New Year's, early January. Please.
Yeah.
Let
us know. So, you know, you got my Instagram right there, QKillem. Also, if you could add my show's Instagram, BBL Comedy, Bubble Chuckle.
Love that. When's the next show?
The next show is January 7th.
Oh, okay.
And the one after that, we're doing 2 shows a month. So if you like Bubbles, if you like what I'm saying, I book what I think is some of the best comics I can find.
Beautiful.
In New York and who are visiting New York. So Come out, have some laughs with me. Q Killing for my skits. BBL Comedy for my comedy
and
show.
And where is the show? Is it the
Comedy Shop? Comedy Shop.
We love the Comedy Shop.
Yes, 167 Bleecker.
Bro, thanks so much for coming on the pod. Guys, follow this guy. We'll see you next time. Peace.